Got Pastor Kerry back up here preaching today, so why don't you make him feel welcome?
Thanks, Tobes. Good morning, everyone. How are you all this morning? Well, Solomon spoke for many people of his generation and of our own when he wrote this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. Everything is meaningless. Utterly meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work? Generations, they come and go, but nothing really changes. The sun rises and sets and hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and north, here and there, twisting back and forth, getting nowhere. The rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. And the water returns again to the rivers and flows again to the sea. Everything is so weary and tiresome. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. Leonard Woolf was a British political theorist, an author and publisher, and a civil servant. He was also the husband of Virginia Woolf. He says this: I see clearly that I have achieved practically nothing. The world today and the history of the human anthill during the past 5 to 7 years would be exactly the same if I had played ping pong instead of sitting on committees and writing books and memoranda. I have therefore to make a rather undignified confession that I have in a long life ground through between 150,000 and 200,000 hours of perfectly useless work. They are the two guys that you'd want to invite to your next dinner party, wouldn't they? But both Solomon and Mr. Wolf sound like they've reached the point of despair when there is no return. They've decided that there isn't really any meaning to life. Any accomplishments they've made ring hollow. So what's the use in even trying? Have you ever felt that way? Like, what's the use of even getting up in the morning? Why do my algebra assignment? Never going to use it anyway. Why work when I think that I'll never get ahead? Why make such an effort raising my kids the right way if they're going to end up blowing it anyway? Or why try to live a Christian life since I always seem to fail at it? Now, if you feel that way, it's obviously not a good thing. But I can tell you that you are in the company of many people of our generation, Christian and non-Christian. Now, I just spent 10 days in Thailand, and I spent the first couple of days with people that I used to serve on the committee for anti-trafficking and prostitution. And I resigned a year ago, and I had some, as I said, had some free flights that they gave me, I had to take up on. And I went and sat with them, and they'd done nothing in the last 12 months. And the Asian summit's coming up next week. And they were panicking, and they asked me to come back next week. And I said, no, I'm not. This is your bed. You made it. You got to lie in it. I'm helping them out a little bit, but they said there was no hope because of what's been going on. The trafficking's actually increased over the last 12 months because this group of people have done really nothing about it. It was devastating. This is why I'm preaching this morning on overcoming feelings of futility, because I suddenly realised as I asked questions, as I went around, even around here, people are feeling futile. And we can all be there. We can all get there. But how do we get out of it? The dictionary defines futility this way: the quality of having no useful result or uselessness, or lack of importance or purpose, frivolous. The synonyms of futile is useless, fruitless, hopeless, impractical, worthless, unprofitable, to no effect, not successful, unseeded, unsatisfying, ineffective, ineffectual, unproductive, to no avail, idle, empty, hollow. Oh my goodness. The fact of the matter is that most of us have felt this way in some time or another, but we usually get over it. But there are those who find themselves living with feelings of futility every day, day in, day out, and it's something that needs to be overcome if they will ever live in the fullness of Christ, in what Christ has designed them to live in. So what causes feelings of futility? I'm just going to give you, I have four of the most common causes, and I want to briefly share with you. And then we'll look at some practical steps to overcome. So hang in there. Okay, so turn to the person next to you and say, hang in here. Right. Now this list is hardly exhaustive, okay? But it should help us get to the basic understanding of the problem. So the first one is unfulfilled dreams. Maybe you thought when you become an adult that you'd rise to the top of the corporate ladder, or be a sports star or a rock star, or have kids that were perfect, or be a spiritual superstar. But at some point in time, you've come to the realization in life that life isn't everything you thought it was going to be, and you haven't even ticked off or reached stage two of your 10-point plan. And instead of dealing with life circumstances and the reality of the moment, you dwell on what might have been if you had the right lucky breaks, or married a different spouse, or made different decisions in the past. So now you find yourself living in the drudgery of life that is, rather than the life that you've always wanted. Another one is confusing success with significance. I had a great time with the staff discussing this week. You know, around 20 years ago, some people you may not know, but around 20 years ago, I was a general manager of a very large mining hiring equipment company that saw me overseeing mining operations in WA, South Australia, and the Northern Territory. And I broke all the company records, and I won awards and holidays that Sally and I went on, and I was the youngest in my field at the time, and I was seen as an achiever. I was a wanted man in my field by many other companies. I was going places. The overwhelming emotion of it being successful was great, but only lasted for little moments in my life. To be honest, I was empty inside. There had to be something more significant in life. You know, some of you have reached goals and that you've set in life, but when you've reached them, you've discovered that the success is a fleeting and hollow feeling that takes up residence in your soul. You've confused success with significance rather than focusing on the accomplishments that really mean something, like being a good dad or a good mum, or sticking and living with the Christian ethic, or having good conversations with friends. You've let the success syndrome keep you from reaching just a little bit more. And I understand that. I've been there. I remember going to a luncheon at St. George's Terrace for a bunch of business leaders once, and a man came up to me, and I was sitting there going, wow, look at all these guys. You know, they're driving up in their Maseratis and Mercs and Beamers and everything, And I was just looking at all these guys going, wow, I just want to be so much like them. And I remember this guy coming up to me and going, Kerry, you've achieved a lot at a young age. Get out while you can. I went, what? This is what life's all about. Look at you guys. He says, get out while you can. Take a good look around you. I said, most of these guys, actually 90% of these guys, are on their third marriages. They work 80 hours a week. What for? For success. They pay for it. They'll be forgotten next week as their companies are only concerned about the profit. Are you happy in what you're doing? Or you may experience personal or spiritual failure. All of us have experienced failure at some time, but most of us experience a deeper failure than others, or one that is not popular or accepted by our culture. You know, you might have been fired from your job. You might have a messed up marriage. The kids might have rebelled against your values, or you were given into temptation. You might have given into temptation and blown your Christian testimony or credibility with others. And instead of accepting that some failures are good because it leads to growth, or accepting the forgiveness that God offers when we've turned away from Him, we begin to wonder if it's any use at all trying to be who God wants us to be. You all feeling good? One last one. Lack of support. Lack of a support system. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend is always loyal and a brother is born to help in time of need. Wow. Maybe you've heard that verse and said, well, that's true and that's great, but the problem is that I don't have any loyal friend to help me through the tough times of life. No one to encourage me. No one to dust me off and put me back on my feet. And so you're so busy saying, you're saying, well, what's the use of even trying? No one is there to help me. Someone, please help me. You ever felt that? Have you ever felt any of those four things that I've just mentioned? Now, as I said, we'd probably come up with some more reasons, but this is probably enough for us to get started, and any more, I'll have you all leaving here depressed. When I was going through this, I was thinking, how can I make this fun? And the Lord said, this is not fun. This is serious stuff. You've got to tell your people, my people. So now that I've identified the problem, what we really need are some steps to overcome. Now's the time to elbow the person next to you and say, right, listen. I didn't hear you. I saw plenty of elbows. If you're at this point in your life and you know how unhealthy it is for you and others to be around you, what can you do about it? I have a list here of four steps that will help, but I'm not promising an automatic cure here. Not saying that God can't do that. He can. But it's taken you some time to get this way, so it's going to take you some time to change things back to normal. I'll explain that later on. Some of you are going to have to retrain your brain, renew your thoughts. As you know, at Hillside, we are what? I'll say that again, so I didn't give you any warning. So at Hillside, we're committed to what? Beautiful. So number one, renew your commitment in your outline. Commitment. If you are a Christ follower, at some point in your life, you made a commitment to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. And if you're visiting here today and you haven't done that, I strongly encourage you to look into a relationship with Jesus Christ, because He will transform your life, as He has done mine and many people sitting around you. And whether you feel like it right or now or not, you've got to renew that commitment and let God know that you are willing not to only make an effort to overcome, but know that with His help, you will overcome. Say, I will overcome.
I will overcome.
Yay. Once King David had a horrible personal failure when he committed adultery, yet he prayed to God this way. In Psalm 51, verse 12, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Now, did David claim to be filled with joy when he prayed this prayer? No. He was absolutely miserable. So he asked God to restore the joy he had once known. And that's exactly what we have to do. Did he think he could do this on his own? No. He knew that he was so weak that he asked God to sustain him on his journey back to wholeness. And that is one thing that we must do. Part of the reason some of us are suffering from futility is because when we've been knocked down, we've relied completely on ourselves to bring us back up. And trust me, that does not work. And every time we try, we will fail. We need to call on God to restore us and to give us the strength we need to make it. Now, I know some of you are probably tired. Some of you have probably been sick. Some of you have probably been in a situation that you're just struggling in and struggling in and struggling. And the reason why I'm bringing this message is not to say, come on, you guys, but is to say, I have just been doing that the last 2 years. This year has been a great year for me in ministry. But the last 2 years before that was hell. Because I did everything in my own strength. I put my work first, I put my family second, and I put God third. That's right, for 2 years. I was just doing it in my own strength because of some circumstances that had happened. I was angry with God, and I loved God, but I was angry with him. And I just went, oh, what can I do? And I just plowed away until I hit a massive brick wall. And it was around about this time last year when I hit a massive brick wall. And then God spoke to me. One of the only times God's actually audibly spoken to me. And he says, now I've got you. This is why I'm bringing this message today, because I don't want any of you guys to get into that position that I was. Because it sucks. I want you to rely and trust on God as much as you can. Whew. Get it together. If you are a control freak, don't look at anyone. If you are a control freak, what was that? What was that, darling, beautiful wife of mine for 25 years? Control freak. Let go. Let go. And trust in the Lord. Try it. You'll be a better person for it. Psalm 23:3 says, God renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. See, whether you're able to accept this truth or not at this present moment, God wants nothing more than to restore your joy and renew your strength and give you the power and the ability to overcome. Please let down your guard, renew your commitment, and allow him to do some new work in your life. You will find it energizing. You'll find it absolutely brilliant when you do. It is really that simple, only if we do it. Number two, resist negative influences. You know the old saying, misery loves company? It's true. You know, there are people out there who are similar or worse in circumstances than you are. And whether they are trying or not, they will do everything to keep you down. In addition to that, Satan wants nothing more to keep you in your present state because he knows that he will stop you from living effectively, living your life in God. Satan's out there to whack you every time. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church and expressed this fear in 2 Corinthians 11:3. He says, I fear that somehow you will be led away from your pure and simple devotion to Christ, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent. Now, normally when we think of the satanic attacks and spiritual warfare, we think of some huge and obvious and extreme temptations, don't we? But Paul's fear is that these Christians would be led away from their pure and simple devotion to Christ. Now, I'm just going to put it out there. I believe we've all been there. Let's get real. I believe that in times of our life, we've been pulled away from our pure and simple devotion to Jesus Christ, haven't we? Through circumstances, through temptations, through other people. And that is exactly what happens when we allow others to pull us into or keep us in a state of futility. We lose that pure and simple devotion that we once had known. Proverbs 25:19 says, putting confidence in an unreliable person is like chewing with a toothache. Who can relate to that? Yeah. Or walking on a broken foot. I love the Word of God. Just makes it so simple, doesn't it? Both of those activities sound painful, don't they? But if they're not nearly as painful, they're not as nearly as painful as life you're going to have if you continue to be influenced by the negative forces around you. Misery loves company. So when someone joins you in your misery, you've got to begin viewing that as a spiritual attack. And in the name of Jesus Christ, rebuke those negative thoughts and images in your mind. Amen? You've got to do that. Just rebuke them straight out. Refuse to be part of those negative influences by remembering, by restating, and by reenacting the fact that you are a child of God, that you are destined for heaven, that you are the Spirit, that the Spirit of God indwells in you, and that nothing or no one can change that fact. Amen? That's true. But we've got to understand that. It's all right me saying that to you and going, oh, yeah, that's good, amen. But get it into here, because you need that. That's going to protect you. Number three, rediscover your purpose. You know, in Thailand the other day, in the first day I was there, I was driving from the airport and I saw this massive big elephant. And it was on the side of the road. It was not like in a car repair shop. I don't know what it was doing there, probably getting retired or something, but I don't know. It was standing there with a chain around its foot, but just standing there like this. Just, it wasn't connected to anything. You know what I learned? I learned that when they were young, trainers would shackle the young elephants to a stake. They'd chain and put a big stake in there, and they'd have to stand there. That way the elephant learns to stay in its place. Older and powerful elephants never try to leave, even though they have the strength to pull the stake out and walk away. Yeah? So their conditioning has limited their movements. And I was thinking, wow, that's incredible. So with only a small metal bracelet around, a bracelet or a chain around their foot, to nothing, it's not attached to anything, they can stand in place for hours on end, remembering the stakes are actually gone. This made me think, like powerful elephants, people are bound by earlier conditioned restraints. You understand? I'll say that again. Like powerful elephants, people are bound by earlier conditioned restraints. See, if you're suffering from futility, it is a learned behavior. If you're a person, it's a learned behavior that's taken place over time, and it's limiting your spiritual progress, similar to the unattached chain around the elephant's foot. Some of you may have been brought up in a house. Your parents might be, oh, it's useless, it's no good. You might have been brought up, so what you've learned. But it's not the truth. Yet if an elephant is in imminent danger, like a fire coming towards it, it will bolt. It will run. It forgets its old conditioning and runs for its life. So if you're suffering from futility, you need to realize that your spiritual house is on fire. And you better do something about it before it all crashes in. I can see the chain starting to break. Come on. 1 Corinthians 9, 24-26 says, remember that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You must run in such a way that you will win. all athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with the purpose in every step. I am not like a boxer who misses his punches. Now, I know there's a few of you that do Thai kickboxing and Taekwondo and boxing and all that. You know what I mean when you miss a punch or you go to punch something and you miss it. It hurts. How does the runner win the prize? By focusing on the end of the race. By seeing clearly the goal set before them and knowing that their purpose is not to run the race but to win the race. Okay, so we're all in a race, but each and every one of you individually want to win that race, the race of life. Amen? Your purpose in life as a Christ follower of Christ is to win the race, not just sit by the sidelines and worry about what might have been. You can't do that. It's time to remind yourself day after day, moment by moment, that there is not that you are not here on earth just for yourself, but you have been called by a higher purpose, that one that brings glory to our Father. And even if life has handed you some bad times, and even if you haven't accomplished everything you would have liked to, and even if you had think that you'd failed in life, the one thing that never changes is your purpose to live like God-loving, Christ-following, kingdom-growing, grace-filled, faith-filled, spirit-filled, joy-filled children of God. Because that's who you are. Amen? Do you want me to say that again? There was only about five of you that clapped there. But nothing changes in purpose to live like a God-loving, Christ-following, kingdom-growing, grace-filled, faith-filled, spirit-filled, joy-filled child of God. Because that's who you are. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Hey. Number four, rest in God's peace. You want to know something more? While God might want you to be the best in business or the greatest spouse or parent, what he wants more than anything for you is to put away those feelings of futility and realize that he loves you no matter what. You've heard me say it before. There is nothing you can do, nothing you can do that will stop God from loving you. Nothing. God isn't grading you on how much money you make or how long your pedigree is or how many accomplishments you have to your credit. It's time just to relax and let God do his work in you. It's time to quit trying to please yourself and everyone else around you and rest in the fact that God loves you just as you are. Some of you prayed this morning, God, give me a word. Well, here it is. The Lord says, I see you and I love you. Take that word. That's a word for you, whoever prayed that this morning. Let me read to you a couple of promises from Jesus and let these promises sink in. And I want you to claim these promises today. Matthew 11, 28, 30, a lot of you will know this one. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. So come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. And I will what? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. We've got to understand that as children of God, we've got to understand that. That his yoke fits perfectly and the burden he gives is light. John 14, 27, I'm leaving you with a gift. That's what Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. God's saying this morning, trust in me, trust in me, trust in me. Trust in me. Now, it's one thing to read the promises and say, oh, gee, that's really nice. It's another thing to read them and meditate upon them and let them sink into your soul. Today, why not go home and relax, or this week, and read these words over and over again to yourself, and allowing Jesus to speak directly to you through them. You know, one of the things I learned over these 12 months, remember the beginning of the year, I said, you know, we've got to start this. Some of you are, but some of you have and had been, but I hadn't been. I was busy and I always thought to myself, I don't want to be a pastor that just ends up doing that and gets burnt out. But you know what? When you're in that mode, you don't even know that you're in it until you hit that wall. And so, but when you get this right, this relationship with God right, all that is easy done. But when you decide to leave God out of everything and you're doing it on your own strength, man, this is a hard slog. God's saying today, like he did at the beginning of the year, stop, seek me first. Seek me first. And then all this will be a breeze, will be light. Won't be heavy. We've got to get this right. Now, I made what got me through last year, I'm going to share with you. I've got about 100 copies out on the back there if you walk past and you want to pick up one. But I was going to do an altar call this morning, but the Lord said, no, just do it on everyone here. So I've done a declaration. And it's funny, this week I've declared this declaration over four people that have been struggling. I've sent them to them and I said, you just meditate on this. And I've had three reply to me already and saying, wow, that's just... The more I meditate, the more I read this, the more I just get filled, and I'm getting better and better. But this is a declaration. This is a word. It's the word of God. But what I've done, I've turned it into a prophetic word from the Lord to you. And I've got to tell you, this got me out of that and back into that. And I've got a copy of these in each of my Bibles, and I've got it on my phone and everything else. And every time I start to feel low, I think about that. So I want you to all stand. I'm going to declare this. And if you want to shout out amen or yeah, I receive it, you can do whatever you want. So I'm going to shout it out so it gets into your soul. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. If you pray, Lord, open my mouth, then I will fill it, says the Lord. My gracious hand is upon you. I am your sun and shield, and I bestow favor and honor. No good thing will I withhold from you as you walk rightly. Victory is in store for you. Your walk is blameless, and I am your shield. I am your refuge in time of trouble, and I will deliver you from all your troubles. I have made known to you the pathway of your life. I will fill you with joy of my presence, with eternal pleasures with my right hand. When your soul is feeling down, do not rely on your feelings. Remember, your hope is in me. Praise me, worship me, as I am your Savior. As you do these things, you will become stronger in spirit and be filled with wisdom, as my grace is upon you. I long to be gracious to you. I will rise to show you compassion, for I am a God of justice. Be still, listen to me, and I will bless you, says the Lord. Fast, pray, and be generous, and I will reward you, says the Lord. I have great plans for you, to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope for your future, says the Lord. I commit your actions and plans to me, and I promise you, you will succeed. Put your hope in me. Seek me first in all, and I will be good to you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I speak to all those who feel futile, who feel useless, fruitless, hopeless, impractical, worthless, unprofitable, to no effect, not successful, unseated, satisfying, ineffective, ineffectual, unproductive, to no avail, idle, empty, and hollow. Lord, all those words are a lie from the devil. And Lord, I speak life into every brother and sister in this room. Every brother and sister doing ministry in this house this morning. I speak life, I speak joy. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that your hope in all of us is that we will live a satisfied life, a significant life, a successful life. But Lord, in everything that we do, we just honour and glorify you. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the times when we have allowed misery to be our company. Lord, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to encourage and equip others around us. Help us to realise who we are in Christ. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, from now until the end of this year, that may we be all filled with your glory, all filled with your joy. Hallelujah. That people will see and say, I want what they've got. I want what he's got. I want what she's got. And Lord, to open up divine appointments for each and every one of us. For us to be able to say to the people that are around us, yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to glory when I leave this place. Because I have faith in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Hallelujah. 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 Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we sing that song, Our Chains, the Amazing Grace song? Can the music team up here, please, if they can? I just feel led to sing that song. And if you need prayer this morning, I'd love to pray for you, the elders, and I would love to pray for you. I guess this message has come from my heart. There's nothing more is to see a child sick. You know, your own children when they're sick, it's helpless. But when you're a shepherd of a church and when you see people I know a lot of what's going on in a lot of lives. It's a privilege and it's a responsibility of mine, but it hurts to know that some of you, what you're going through. And you don't need to go through it. You don't need to go through it. Just give her a cuddle. That's what she needs. But when we sing these words, you can close your eyes during the chorus and just believe it. Because it's truth, what we're singing. Your chains are gone. They're broken. They are gone. You are set free. And you are free indeed. Oh, goosebumps. You're free indeed. Let's sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
A couple of weeks ago, I had a dream about a lover. And I was just really touched in the night by the sense of a lover. When I woke, I realised it was God. And I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? He's saying, the winter is over.
Amen.
Arise and come away with me. The winter is over. The rain is fast and gone. Arise and come away with me.
That's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anyone needs prayer, just...